This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
And now, a little time travel. The year? 1868. The city? Boston. The scene? A demonstration. William Barton Rogers, founder of MIT, and two students, Bob and Marcus, are about to do something amazing. Before the very eyes of a skeptical, even scared audience, they are about to light a street lamp with electricity.
Bob tapped a spring on a box. After about 15 or 20 seconds, the lamppost lining Boylston Street flickered, then lit up simultaneously in a long procession of softly glowing orbs. At the pop of the lanterns, there was a collective gasp and a palpable excitement. Rogers waited out the applause before he explained that Boston had 5,000 street lamps and spent over $42,000 each year on employing men to light them. Marcus now opened the central box. Inside, a notched wheel powered by electricity was connected to a series of coils. "This is what we call a circuit breaker," Rogers said. People moved in for better views, marveling at the notion of machinery illuminating the streets all at once. The machine rattled as something hard struck it. It was a rock. A second one grazed Roger's shoulder and another cracked the glass of the lantern above them, pitching them into darkness. Marcus felt the glass shards rain down on his hat and shoulder.
That's Matthew Pearl, reading from his new novel, The Technologists. Set around the time MIT was founded, it's a tale of scientific daring do. Whip-smart techies battling the forces of evil, while also battling the forces of ignorance and doubt. So, Matthew, who's going to win?
Well, we are at the advent of a new era, both in science and scientific education. In this scene, what we're seeing is that there's actually a group of men from the labor unions who are very angry about this particular invention, as they're angry about many of the inventions that a place like MIT would have been introducing, because it would take away work. So we're entering one flashpoint of tension between what science can add to our lives and what it can take away. And for me, as a storyteller, I immediately felt that that would give me lots of material to work with the characters.
I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit more about, don't give it away the ending, of course, but tell us a little bit more about what happens, because everything seems to get started with a bang on Boston Harbor.
Absolutely. On the very first page, we're seeing a disaster unfold in Boston Harbor. The ships in a heavy fog are suddenly running aground and crashing into each other and burning. As our protagonists, who are among the first students at this new college, MIT, are preparing to graduate in the spring of 1868, there are this series of disasters that are cropping up around Boston. And so only this small group of students who calls themselves the technologists can sort of enter this investigation and try to stop it.
You know, one of the great thrills of reading your books is it's almost like getting a really fun history lesson at the same time, because you're so well known for the amount of historical research that you do. And I was wondering if you might tell us about some of the characters that appear in your book that maybe are based on real life characters. I mean, we talked about William Barton Rogers, who was the founder of MIT, but then there's also someone in your book by the name of Ellen Swallow.
Ellen is such an interesting figure. She was the first female student at MIT.
In reality.
And in fact, she was later the first female professor at MIT as well. And she had a very hard exterior. I researched her very extensively and read as many of her letters and journals as I could. And if you think about it, the position she was in was almost an impossible one, to be the only woman in this building, and also to be hidden away. They wouldn't advertise the fact that they had a female student. They already had enough controversy just by the fact that they were a scientific college. And yet she thrived in it, and she held her own, and she wasn't frightened away when she was harassed. She describes being treated like a dangerous animal. So she was a character that, as I went on with my drafts of this book, my early readers, including my editor, would keep repeating, "More Ellen, more Ellen, more Ellen." So she is someone who grew with the book.
Well, this book takes place in 1868, and many of your other books have taken place in that sort of same period of time, the late 19th century. What is it in particular that attracts you so much that maybe other periods of time don't have?
Well, I do think that it was around that time that many of our recognizably modern elements of society were coming into being. So one of the things that's interesting is to see how that happened, to sort of follow the steps that our world is formed, which much of which was in the 19th century.
You know, it's interesting because here we are in the 21st century looking back through the lens of your fiction of the 19th century. But it occurs to me that writers even of the period, obviously Dickens being one of them, Mary Shelley being another, were already grappling with the impact that science and technology were having on their very own lives. Did you have that in mind when you were writing The Technologists?
I did pay attention to that. It was actually where the mad scientist figure comes from, is that period. You mentioned Mary Shelley, also Robert Louis Stevenson in Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They're very fearful, interested but fearful, of the science figure and of the havoc that could follow from going too far with science. Of course, something we still talk about all the time. So that's one of my goals in The Technologist, was to tell a story that both included that possibility, the fear, the terror of science, but put the scientists in a more reasonable light that the 19th century writers, for the most part, would not have had access to.
It's interesting because in this day and age, we sort of are still grappling with both that fear and veneration of science. Because on the one hand, there's a lot of politics right now that puts science in a fearful light. But there's also popular veneration of it. I mean, CSI is basically one big science show wrapped up in a criminal procedural. Is the way that tension has played out in our lives today different than it was in 1868?
Well, there are definitely some parallels. And I think in 1868, of course, the idea of science and technology was even more frightening to so many people. In fact, the word technology, which of course is in the title of this new college, would have been one that people would not have known what it meant for the most part, would not have known how to pronounce it or how to spell it. So that strange word sort of encapsulated that conflict, because what technology means is it's not just science. It's science applied to our lives in order to change our lives. And that's the key word, to change it. And will that end up being disastrous, as we sometimes worry about, or will it make our lives so much better? And I think that's will just always be an ongoing conversation and debate. And that's what I wanted to sort of channel into what I hope is a very exciting story and an adventure with these characters.
You know, your books, for so many reasons, seem to me to be so Bostonian, right? I mean, not only are they located, many of them located here, but they are books about history layered upon academics, layered upon literature. It's this particular stew of ideas, which I think Boston really excels in as being a place that gives rise to those ideas. Do you think you could have written a book like The Technologists or The Dante Club or The Last Dickens anywhere but here?
My career has really been defined by my own experience with the Boston area. And I think part of it is because I come from a very different place. I grew up in South Florida, and there was no history. And I don't mean that literally. Of course, Florida has among the oldest history in the country, but you didn't see it. It wasn't visible. You couldn't walk through it. So for me, it was so amazing when I got here for the first time when I was 17 years old and could experience that history. I think I absorbed it and was very sensitive to it in a way that some of my friends who maybe grew up in New England and were surrounded by that their whole lives or went to high schools like that did not really have that part of them that wanted to chase that down further. And that was, I think, wired into me as soon as I got here. So I love writing about Boston and learning about it as I write, because every time I write a story, and create a plot that centers around Boston, I learn more about where I live.
Matthew Pearl's new novel is The Technologists. There's an excerpt of it at our website, radioboston.org. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
In a moment, more stories about science fiction and history and music. This time on stage, the Civil War, robots in a musical at Club Oberon. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.